years, you'll be cut off.
We'll go ahead and call the meeting back to order. It's 5 minutes after 2, May 11th, 2007. With us this afternoon on the extension of the meeting is co-chair Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Huggins, Senator Elton, Senator Thomas, Senator Dyson. We're going to work on three bills this afternoon. But first, actually four bills. But first, we're going to take House Bill 162, Mortgage Lending, and we're going to roll that till tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So we will meet here at 9 a.m. tomorrow, and we'll have a floor session for tomorrow. The three bills, first three we're going to work on is House Bill 209, Regulatory Commission of Alaska. And then we're in House Bill 110 is the Regulatory Commission of Alaska Extension. And then we're going to go to HCR 8, Regulatory Commission of Alaska Task Force. The plan is to move all three bills unless we find issues that come up in them. And with that, they're all sponsored by the House Labor and Commerce Committee, and we have with us Representative Olson here. He can come forward. The other bill we're going to take up after we get done with the RCA, three RCA bills, and we may have to have another little recess, but what I'd like the committee to do is come back and finish up the GIA today and just get it done. There's not that many changes. Administration, along with staffs of Senator Huggins and myself, are in my office as we speak, comparing the bills and working out what is the best language in each bill and how to proceed on that. So that's going on. And if we get ahead, we'll just have another recess. But I think it'd be nice for the committee just to get a GIA done today, and then we'll go on. But if it gets too late, we get too tired, we'll finish it up in the morning. But we want to get it to the floor back in second today, and then we can take it in third tomorrow and have it done for the Sunday papers. It is an important bill for the citizens of the state. So, well, they're all important bills, but that one has extra importance. House Bill 209, Regulatory Commission of Alaska, with us today as representative sponsor, Rep. Olson, and there is a CS, and if we can go to a brief at ease.
I move that the committee adopt as their working draft Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 209 /O version by Kane dated 5/11/07.
We have a motion to move the CS. Any objection? Seeing no objection, the CS involves a title change. We also have a concurrent resolution that will accompany the bill when we pass it from the committee. That I'd like to welcome Representative Kirk Olson, and if he could walk through the bill, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Chair Stedman. For the record, my name is Kurt Olson, House District 33. House Bill 209 that is before your committee has been recently revised. It is now down to timelines and converts timelines from months to days for ease of calculation and in determining when exactly a docket will be completed. I believe that I got the CS maybe 30 minutes ago, and it appears that a couple of words that had caused some grief on our side had been deleted, and then also the section where the governor would be selecting the chair of the RCA is gone, and I've heard arguments on both sides of that. I could probably make arguments on having the governor do it or having the board do it. And I certainly don't have any problems with what the committee has done on this, nor on the one timeline that they adjusted upwards, I think, from, let's see. I believe it was C, Section 3, page C, taking it up to 450 from 270. And I believe before you, you have a committee document outlining those changes. I believe the changes you made are reasonable and will work.
Okay. We have any questions for Rep. Olson? Seeing none, we have on the...
I have one.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was looking at line 31 on page 2 and line 1 on page 3. And then it's reference in section L, which is line 6 on page 3, and wondering as it refers back to K, realize that may be a little cumbersome and confusing, if in fact all of the both parties are, if both parties are actually covered regarding an extension, I guess is the point, which is covered in F, I guess, is the reference back to. The commission may extend a timeline under F. And I was a little confused with the wording and if that actually allows both the commission to extend and or the party that's seeking some kind of extension to allow the commission to extend for their purposes as well. Or is it only for the commission to extend if they have a concern and they've reached the timeline and have to make a decision, which
I believe it's both parties, but again, I've only had this for a few minutes.
That's what I assumed that's what it was, but it seemed that since the commission was doing it, it might seem a little one-sided that they're the ones. But anyhow, I guess that's part of the process, so I'll rely on your explanation. That's good. Fine. Thanks.
Any other questions for Rep. Olson? Anybody here would like to come forward and speak? Anybody from the administration? Okay. That will go to the off-nets. And could you, would the secretaries hand me a timer? Dan Grova, Mr. Grova, you online?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The name's Dan Gavora.
Okay. Well, I was close.
Okay, that's fine.
I got you. Go ahead.
I'm the president and CEO of College Utilities Corporation and Golden Heart Utilities. And as president and CEO of the second largest water and wastewater company in Alaska, I'm compelled to comment on House Bill 209 currently being considered by the legislature. Golden Heart Utilities and College Utilities Corporation, along with our administrative service company, Utility Services of Alaska, serve more than 8,500 accounts and a population of more than 50,000 people in the greater Fairbanks area. We've experienced firsthand the consequences of regulatory lag that allows excessively long statutory periods to resolve rate case filings. The rate adjustment process is cumbersome and often results in expenses disproportionate to the return the utility and its customers receive. USA strongly supports House Bill 209 in its current form. In particular, the provision which reduces the statutory time allowed for rate cases from 15 months to 9 months is an essential change that needs to be incorporated immediately. Many other states have realized that lengthy hearing and review processes do not serve the interests of the utility's customers. Statutory timelines for resolution of rate case filings frequently result in pancaking of rate cases because one case is not resolved before rapidly escalating costs require a second rate adjustment. This increases the complexity of these pancake filings tremendously. Reasonable action guidelines by the Regulatory Commission would give a utility some assurance of a response within a reasonable time after a filing takes place. We firmly believe that a reasonable timeline for resolution of a rate case is 9 months. In context, rate case filings are always historical in nature, so a utility is requesting rate adjustments based upon increased costs that have been in effect for at least 1 year before the rate adjustment is presented to the Commission. Many states have already recognized the benefit of more immediate action on rate adjustments and have implemented statutory or voluntary timelines of 9 months or less. There was a study done by the Public Utility Commission of Michigan where they analyzed rate case filings from 1990 through 2003. And during that analysis, they discovered that there's 27 states that on average have these filings done in 9 months or less. Some states are getting them done as up to 4.8 months. So it's being done, it can be done, and Alaska needs to follow suit. If a mistake is made either in favor or against the utility, a prompt refiling can be made by the utility or required by the RCA. This process protects both the public interest and the viability of the utility. Rates need to be in effect during the computed time frame, not 1 to 2 years later.
Could I get you to sum up your testimony, please?
Okay, sure. The current statutory timeline does not serve the best interests of our ratepayer. The cost for legal, consulting, and other direct expenses over these many months ultimately end up being absorbed by ratepayers. I ask you to support House Bill 209 in its current form. This important legislation must go forward as written to begin the process of repairing a system in dire need of repair. Shortening the statutory timeline is one of the first steps in this process. That concludes my testimony.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. With that, we'll go to Valdez. Mr. Dave Dingell, please. Dave Dingell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Dingell. I'm the CEO of Copper Valley Telephone Cooperative. Copper Valley is a member-owned company with approximately 3,000 members serving approximately 9,000 residents from Intasta to Titlick, from McCarthy to Eureka and places in between, being approximately 9,600 square miles in size. While I don't specifically object to HB 209, I think that the timelines may be a little short, too short, without the addition of staffing to ensure that when the commission does act on any particular filing in front of it, that they get all the information and do a very good job in doing the analysis before they make a decision. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, while I support HB 209, it would be nice to see some fiscal note attached increasing the staffing level for the commission so that there's adequate people doing the job there. The commission's responsible for different things. They do telecommunications, they do pipeline work, they do other utility work as well, and so it's each one in itself is fairly complicated, and I think that the commission needs additional staff so they can continue to provide the service to companies like Copper Valley. And that's all, in essence, that's my comments. That I just think that you need to consider giving them additional funding for additional staff members so they can continue to meet these timelines. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Dingell. With that, we'll go to the Anchorage. Dennis Niedermeyer, please.
Yeah, this is Dennis Niedermeyer. I'm with the Bristol Bay Telephone Cooperative and serving customers in Bristol Bay area of Alaska. And I can testify on behalf of the bill. And I understand after listening to the committee that there's a substitute that eliminated Section 1. Part B, I guess, the first part of the amendment related to the governor's designation. Some of my testimony was related to the commission and to the staff, and also as a companion to 110, the committee substitute 110. The Bristol Bay Telephone has no issues with the timelines as presented or as revised, and would support either version of that bill. I wanted to echo Dave Dingell's comments about that the commission has done, we believe, a good job. I believe the chairman has made efforts to outreach into Bristol Bay area, and we would like to see them able to continue their work with the staff that's necessary to deal with the timelines as proposed. I'm not certain if you're going to take up testimony on 110, but again, I would support under 110 the renewal of the
Mr. Niedermeyer, could I get you to keep your testimony on House Bill 209, please?
Okay. That concludes my testimony.
Okay. Great, thank you. We'll be bringing up the other bills here in a little bit. With that, we'll go on to Ted Monsky. Mr. Monsky, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Ted Monensky. I am the Director of Regulatory Affairs for Alaska Communication Systems. I'm going to begin with an apology. We here in Anchorage do not have the new Senate CS for House Bill 209, and so it's going to be difficult for me to make specific references to sections given that things have changed. But I will make reference to the statutory provision, and hopefully you can follow me. And I have very brief comments to make on AS 4205-175, subsection K. And again, I'm at somewhat of a disadvantage. I believe that in the CS that you're considering this afternoon, there have been some changes in subsection K that I had planned to speak to. And I might have to begin by asking you a question. There was language that caused some concern having to do with what is referred to as private settlements and contracts. I'm wondering if you can tell me whether or not that language has been deleted.
Rep. Olson.
Through the chair, yes, it was.
If I could take just a moment to explain to the committee what the effect of deleting that language will be. ACS has consistently throughout the process that HB 209 has gone through has advocated for one principle, and that is that every matter that comes before the RCA should have a timeline. If the language that refers to private settlements and contracts is removed, the effect of that will be to create one category, because the Commission does consider settlements and contracts. It will create one category that has no timeline, and that would be disappointing. Instead, I believe that the concerns about this, the language that was in the earlier version of the bill could be resolved rather easily by eliminating the word private in front of settlements and contracts, and then following the terms settlements and contracts with the words within the Commission's jurisdiction. The effect of adopting that change would be to continue to provide a timeline for all categories of cases that comes before the Commission, and at the same time recognizes that all of the normal procedures and legal standards that would be applied to contracts and settlements that the Commission would normally review anyway would be in no way affected by applying a timeline in this provision. So I would urge you to consider that in lieu of simply eliminating that language completely. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Moninsky. Go then to Dean Thompson. Dean Thompson.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dean Thompson. I am an attorney who represents the municipality of Anchorage doing business as Municipal Light and Power. Municipal Light and Power provides retail electric service in the municipality of Anchorage. It owns generation, transmission, and distribution facilities. And Municipal Light and Power was involved in the regulatory docket that the RCA undertook last year to consider potential changes to Alaska Statute 4205. And overall, Municipal Light and Power isn't necessarily opposed to what is in House Bill 209. However, Municipal Light and Power was hoping that there would be some changes that would ensure adequate funding for the RCA that would allow the RCA to meet the statutory deadlines. In addition, Municipal Light and Power has been impressed with the quality of the work of this current commission and the improvements that have been made over the past several years, the past two or three years at least, and in particular the leadership of Chairman Geyer. And Municipal Light and Power does not always agree with the decisions that the Commission issues and has been on the winning and the losing side of decisions, but we have seen a marked improvement in docket management and in the overall timeliness of dockets. For that reason, Municipal Light and Power is pleased to see that the current version of House Bill 209 does not have the earlier provision regarding terminating the current panel of commissioners. Another issue that MLMP would have liked to have seen in House Bill 209 is a provision for allowing the governor or her administration to set the salaries of commissioners. MLMP is certainly in agreement that costs should be contained, but we do believe that to some extent you get what you pay for. And increasingly, regulation of utilities is becoming a very specialized, very technical matter, and it requires reasonably compensated commissioners and reasonably compensated expert staff. So MLMP, in general, is in support of a modest increase in the regulatory cost charge percentage that is contained in AS 42.05.254A, and would like to see that returned to legislation in House Bill 209. MLMP does agree with the most recent change to the statutory deadline for rate cases. While we certainly agree that rate cases should be processed as quickly as possible, there are a wide range of rate cases that vary in complexity and in the number of parties. And for many cases, 9 months is adequate, and the commission should, of course, strive to do that. But there are other more complex cases with multi-party litigation that it's not going to happen in that amount of time if you want a quality decision.
Mr. Thompson, can I get you to wrap up your testimony, please?
Certainly. Overall, Municipal Light and Power is very supportive of this commission and its current chairman. And with regard to House Bill 209, we would prefer that there be the opportunity for discussion about increasing the regulatory cost charge percentage and allowing commissioner salaries to be set by the governor. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. We'll now go to Virginia Rush. Rush?
Hello, it's Rush. That's correct.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes. If you can identify yourself and who you work for, and then go ahead with your testimony on HB 209, please.
I'm Virginia Rush. I am here at the request of AARP, which has taken a great interest in utility rates and other issues because of the impact on AARP members and other ratepayers. AARP asked me to testify as their utility expert because I have been involved with regulation under the RCA and its predecessor, the APUC, for many years, dating back to 1981. For 23 years, I was an assistant attorney general, and 14 of those years, I was assigned to the commission, both as the attorney for the public advocate function for a number of years and for the commission's own attorney. And in the last year since I retired, I have represented AARP in several rate cases, consumer hearings, and appeals. So I am very familiar with the commission's processes and its problems, and I would be happy to answer any questions on that subject if there are any. Now, I have just been handed the new Senate committee substitute, and AARP is very happy with some of the changes that have been made in this one. Specifically, in Section 3, the shortened deadline has been restored to its previous length of 15 months, and that is very critical, as Mr. Thompson said, for some of the larger utilities. I would just like to briefly answer Mr. Gavora, who spoke about the need for a shortened timeline. I participated in the rate case of that utility as well as one other, and I participated in scheduling conferences in which the 15-month period to complete a rate case was divvied up and everybody wanted more time. I just do not believe, based on those experiences, that it can reasonably be shortened. What you need to understand fundamentally is that in a rate case, a utility files its justification for cost. Rate base rates should be set at a level to adequately recover the utility's legitimate costs. And in a rate case, there's an opportunity for the commission and the AG as investigator to look at that cost justification to determine if there are things in there that shouldn't be. By shortening the period to 9 months, as Mr. Gavoris suggests, you are harming the ability of the commission to protect ratepayers. The process involves an investigation of those rates. That's been done over the last few years by the Attorney General's office since an executive order moved that investigatory branch of the commission into the AG's office. And they, frankly, are short-staffed. In the pre-hearing conferences that I've been at, they have perpetually had other things on their plate, so they cannot begin their investigation to a couple months down the line. That's taken several months after they can begin. And then in recent years, the utilities themselves keep trying to have more time to file reply testimony. And in the last case, the commission needed approximately 4 months to decide the issues after the rate case and issue an order. And that adds up to more than 9 months.
Ms. Roche, could I get you to summarize your testimony, please?
9 month period. At least until and unless the issue of staffing is looked at under the task force suggested by HCR 8.
Could I get you to summarize your testimony, please?
Okay, I just finally want to say that AARP does consider House Bill 110 critical legislation to extend the commission. HB 209 in the current Senate committee substitute is also a bill that AARP supports. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your testimony, Ms. Rush. Jim Rowe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jim Rowe. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Telephone Association. The association is comprised of 15 companies serving rural Alaska. I have just gotten the copy of the Senate CS, and as other parties before me, I like some of the changes that have been made. I would also say in regard to Ted Meninsky's testimony, I was one of the people who had a concern for that section that has been removed from the prior bill, and the suggestion that Mr. Meninsky made would be satisfactory toward me. It would also address my concerns. We've gone through a few iterations of House Bill 209, and some of the things that have dropped out that would have been useful. The timelines are very nice. We appreciate having the timelines as members of industry. The staffing requirements are a situation. As timelines are shortened, there is a need for staff, and those haven't been addressed. No fiscal note, as was mentioned. We have been, as an association, supportive of increased staff, increased regulatory cost charge for staffing, and increased salaries for the commissioners, who have a very difficult job, and they are certainly not paid for the value they are contributing to the state of Alaska and for the issues they have to deal with. It's been put off. It's a detrimental, and it's an unfortunate thing for not only industry members, but for the public. And I wish they had been considered in this bill rather than put off some future time. As other parties have testified, we're not always happy with the decisions we get out of a regulatory body, but we are satisfied with the effort and the integrity of the people who are sitting on that commission today. And I'm here in support of House Bill 209, and I will address the other pieces of legislation at the appropriate time. I'm available for questions from your committee, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Rowe. That finishes up the offline. Do we have any other questions for the bill sponsor in committee? Mr. or Representative Olson.
Yeah, I'd like to go on the record to clarify one point.
You want to have an at ease?
No. I would like,
well, you're on the record.
I'd like to be on the record.
Okay.
The reason the salaries dropped out of the original version of 209 was at the recommendation of the RCA in a February 22nd letter to the governor requesting that the legislature be the body that determined the salary for the commissioners. That's what led up to the resolution establishing the task force to look at salaries. So hopefully that'll clarify how we came to that point.
Any other questions from the committee? Senator Thomas, you want to make a motion? Send you new grounds today.
Well, I was still questioning the fiscal note as I read it, and was curious to some of the testimony. So I don't know if I'm prepared to make a motion depending on what the explanation of the fiscal note is. I realize it's receipts, it's RCA receipts, but are we approving the expansion of the staff?
Let's go to Kate Gerard from the RCA, and if you could walk us through the fiscal notes, please.
Mr. Chairman, the fiscal note that you have before you, thank you, members of Senate Finance, the fiscal note I believe you have before you reflects the $505,000 increase to the RCA's 2008 budget, and the purpose of that is to add resources which will address the shortened timelines and the new section which puts timelines on every docket that the RCA has. The challenge that you've heard about in that fiscal note is that together with the $1.3 million that the Senate and House are considering providing RCA in the 2007 supplemental will cause the RCA to exceed the statutory rate cap, which is a limit on the amount of revenues that it can collect from regulated utilities. And so the testimony that you're hearing today about the statutory rate cap increase and the hope that that would have been in House Bill 209 is reflected on the fact that the RCA will have insufficient revenues in 2008 and in 2009 to support the operations reflected in the fiscal note and also to fully collect the supplemental you're giving us from the for litigation.
Okay, thank you. Senator Elton.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. But Ms. Gerard, I mean, because some of the timelines have been pushed back, I mean, I guess I would have expected that the fiscal note prepared on May 10th would go down.
Through the chair, Senator Elton, the answer is the fiscal note was prepared when there was a 9-month timeline. And we were not going to add any more staff for the 9-month timeline because the shortening of the timelines on all matters in item number K was shortening everything to 6 months. And the staff that we were adding were to address those shortened timelines to make sure that we could comply with them. Because they are, they go over everything that we do. Approximately 46% of the rate case of the cases that we've had in the last 3 years, 181 cases, had no associated timeline with them. And they are now, all of those dockets which may be filed and others that we don't know about, now have a 6-month timeline. So it was that, the reason was for that section, I believe it's K, that we were putting in the fiscal note.
Thank you. Senator Thomas.
Mr. Gerard, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gerard, I understand there is now a timeline for every possible rate case filing. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, not only rate cases, but any jurisdictional matter that comes before the Regulatory Commission of Alaska will now have a timeline, and that process was heavily supported by the RCA.
Correct. That I didn't use the correct terminology there. So everything is covered, but the 6 months refers to only adjudicated docket matters. Is that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I do not have the revision in front of me, so I am going to work off the prior docket. And what your question, I think, is asking if it's only adjudicated docket. It is all cases that are filed with the commission.
Rep. Olson, you have a comment to make on that?
When we got the fiscal note a few days ago under the previous version, it was our understanding that it was addressing Section 3, Section C, which was the timeline that was extended to 450 days. So I'm unclear why it's we still have the fiscal note. We've extended it from 270 days to 450 days, and not only that, it goes into effect, I believe, July 1st of 08.
You have other questions? Any other questions? Are we, Senator Thomas, you want to make a motion?
With apprehension, anyhow, I guess I would make a motion that that CS for House Bill 209 backslash O version, I believe that's the one I'm reading, and hopefully everybody else is reading. Be moved from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note. Is that what we are?
Thank you. We've got a motion to move the bill from committee with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations. Do we have objection?
Just an objection, so I can ask the representative from the commission to get back in touch with us on the fiscal note. My assumption also was like the sponsor's assumption that this fiscal note would. If not go down to zero, would go down substantially because of the new version that was just introduced today. And I'm prepared to move this out of committee, but I would like, before it gets to the floor, I'd like to know whether or not the fiscal note we have still reflects the challenges that are represented in the bill. With that, I remove my objection.
Okay, thank you. We'll have RCA respond back to us on that. Any further objection? Hold it. Okay, just a second. We'll go to Addie's. Do we have any other questions or concerns on HB 209?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Ms. Gerard?
Chairman, I wanted to make sure that the public utilities listening and the Alaska legislature also listening understands that while the legislature has seen fit in this CS to move the timelines for rate cases, which I believe is item number four, back to the original 15 months that the 2002 legislature enacted, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska has opened a docket on revising timelines, and we have not acted on that docket waiting for the policy decisions that you would make. But it is our intention to move forward on that docket. It is our intention to shorten the timelines as the public utilities and the public advocates recommend to us. And it is very important to us that we reduce regulatory lag. And I did want to get those comments on the record and let people know that even though your policy call is to move it to 15 months, within our own ability to make policy calls, we intend to do the best we can to reduce regulatory lag. Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't know, we're going to get an updated fiscal note. We'll catch up to it in the rules.
Yes, sir.
We'll just go to a brief at ease.
Another comment.
Back on the record, I guess we've got a motion on the table. Do we have any objection to moving the bill? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee with individual recommendations, attached fiscal notes, the updated coming fiscal note, and the concurrent resolution. We'll all move from committee. With that, we are going to take a brief at ease while we set up for the next bill. Move on to House Bill 110. House Bill 110 is a Regulatory Commission of Alaska extension. With us today is Representative Kurt Olson, who's going to walk us through the bill. And
thank you again, Senator. Senator Stedman. House Bill 110 would extend the sunset date of the RCA 4 years. It would include a provision for a two-year report card, which would look at information provided in the RCA's annual reports to determine whether or not they were in compliance with timeline extensions and other performance measures. The four-year extension came out of conversations amongst the administration, the presiding officers of both bodies, to find a reasonable extension, particularly given the fact that there would probably be an impact from House Bill 209. All parties were in agreement with 4 years as being a reasonable extension, and that's how we came at that number.
Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, and nobody signed up to testify. Well, I guess we'll start with NAFNET with Mr. Don Reed, and if you can identify yourself and who you represent and speak to the bill, and if you're in support of the extension for the sake of the clock ticking away, it's nice to have abbreviated testimony on such a straightforward bill. Thank you. Mr. Reed.
Chairman, and I agree with you. My name is Don Reed, and I'm Vice President of Regulatory Affairs with Mananuska Telephone Association, headquartered here in Palmer, Alaska. We would like to add our voice in support of the passage of this legislation. We have not always had favorable rulings from this commission, but no company or organization should expect that. What we have gotten and what we do expect is a fair, impartial, unbiased review of our cases. In addition, MTA has seen a huge leap in efficiency in the way this agency conducts its business. We've had more timely reviews of our dockets. Orders are much better written, and the access to documents online has been a tremendous benefit to me and my staff. Simply put, this commission has substantially increased the ease and lowered my cost of doing business with it. We fully support the RCA extension bill, HB 110. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reed, for your testimony. With that, we'll go to Anchorage, and the list looks pretty familiar. And Mr. Niedermeyer.
For the sake of brevity, I would like to echo the same sentiments of Mr. Reed from MTA. We fully support the bill and actually appreciate the work of the chairman of the commission and the commission in the work they've done. We would also recommend that 4 years is certainly the shortest we would like to see. We wouldn't like to see a shortening of that. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Jack Reiner, please. Mr. Reiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jack Reiner. I'm the president and CEO of TeleAlaska, Inc. We operate two regulated telephone companies in the state, and we are in support of the reauthorization of the RCA. It would be practically impossible for regulated utilities to operate without the RCA, so we fully support that. And I would echo the fact that Chairman Guyard and the Commission have been doing a very good job of trying to shorten the timelines and get orders out. So, we're in support of the reauthorization of the Commission.
Okay, thank you. Steve Hamill, please. Mr. Hamill.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. This is Steve Hamlin. I'm President of United Utilities.
We provide telecommunication services to 70 different communities. Most of those communities are in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 110. I would like to point one thing out here, and that is the linkage between what this commission does and the need to go about their business in cooperation with the Federal Communications Commission. We get millions of dollars of support in this state for telemedicine services, distance learning services, services to low-income households, and that service, that support that we get needs this commission working hand in hand with the Federal Communications Commission. So we need to have the commission up and running and have fully staffed and funded for us to be able to capitalize on those benefits. Chairman Guyard has been instrumental in getting public access points established in many communities throughout the state for broadband services and telemedicine services and also services to low-income households. So with that, we recommend you adopt and pass House Bill 110. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Dean Thompson, do you support the extension? Mr. Thompson.
Yes, this is Dean Thompson again from Municipal Light and Power. Municipal Light and Power does support a reauthorization for the commission, and the only thing I would add is that for the regulated utilities, predictability and continuity is important. We need to know what the rules are, and having a level of continuity without interruptions of threats of sunset assists that. So we are in support of reauthorization of the RCA.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Thompson. Virginia Rush.
Ms. Rush. This is Virginia Rush again, and AARP also supports the extension of the RCA under House Bill 110. The RCA is essential to protect consumers by setting just and reasonable rates, and that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your short testimony. Being on point is helpful. Jim Rowe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Jim Rowe, and I'm still with the Alaska Telephone Association. Speaking in support of House Bill 110, I think your initial comments that we could be brief is absolutely correct. We could have been very brief at the beginning of the session on this issue. 4 years is the appropriate amount of time, and we do need this regulatory body, and I'm very glad we're not going into a sunset year. Hopefully we're not. I appreciate this committee's quick address of this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rowe, for your testimony. Christy Catlin, please. Christy Catlin.
Yes, this is Christy Catlin. I'm with AT&T Alascom, and I will also be very brief. We believe the commission has done a tremendous job in reducing timelines with dealing with issues. We support the extension of the RCA, and we support the passage of House Bill 110.
Okay. Thank you. That, Katie Girard from the RCA, your thoughts on the extension.
Mr. Chairman, I hadn't planned on making any testimony. I believe that the matter of the extension of the RCA is really a public policy decision, and that the commission, individual commissioners may have an opinion, but we're very happy with 4 years. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any further questions, comments from the committee members? Seeing none, seeing no one on the list in the audience to come forward, Ms. Senator Hoffman, may I have a motion, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for House Bill 110, Labor and Commerce, with individual recommendations and an accompanying fiscal note.
We have a motion to move the bill on the table. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee with individual fiscal notes and accompanying comments. With that, we're going to take a brief at ease while we set up for the next bill. HCR 8, RCA Task Force. Representative Olson is back with us again.
Thank you again, Chair Stedman. For the record, my name is Kurt Olson, House District 33. HCR 8 would establish a legislative task force to look at and come back to the legislature with recommendations on the salary schedules of the RCA commissioners, staffing levels, the possibility of adding new employees if it determines that they're necessary for complying with timelines. Would also look at the attorneys that are not currently in the RCA but work for the RCA in the Rapid Division of the Department of Law. The committee would consist of a total of 9 members. 3 would be appointed by the presiding officer of the Senate. 3 would be appointed by the presiding officer of the House. The governor or her designee, the attorney general or his designee, Commissioner Noddy or his designee for a total of 9. It would meet 5 times during the upcoming interim. It would come back to the legislature in February of next year with recommendations. Has a sunset date of May 30th, 2008. And it has a $10,000 fiscal note.
Thank you, Rep. Olson. Do we have questions for Rep. Olson? Seeing none, we'll go to Anchorage. Dean Thompson, please. Could you speak on resolution number 8?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, Municipal Light and Power is not convinced of the need for such a task force, but we don't actively oppose it. Regarding commissioner salaries, I would stand on my previous testimony regarding House Bill 209, that MLMP believes that the commissioners are overdue for a salary increase, and we would support a statutory amendment that that just specified that the commissioners shall receive an annual salary. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Thomas. Jim Rowe, please. Mr. Rowe.
Thank you once again, Mr. Chairman. Like Mr. Thompson, I don't really think there was a need for this task force. It's going to take more time, certainly, both members of the commission and members of industry, as well as the legislators and administrative individuals that are going to be involved on this. These issues could have been addressed in session. Regarding job descriptions, we pretty well know what their job descriptions are, I think. We complain about them sometimes, and we give them accolades sometimes. The salary changes, at least in the Senate bill, were there, and I believe the amount was comparable to that of district court judges. And that would have been a decision that would have been made by the legislature if it had been left in there. I would have liked to have seen that for these people. Support staff issues have been there. The position we're in now, Mr. Chairman, members, is I still advocate for staff, and I still advocate for appropriate salaries. So I guess this is what we're left with. I bet we're going to find a lot of media attention. So we look forward to working with the individuals who are on this task force. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Rowe. And Christy, Caitlin, I see that you're just marked here for questions, but do you have any comments on the resolution?
Yes, I think I can agree pretty much with what you've heard so far. We would have preferred to have seen these issues dealt with this session because it is truly long, long overdue to correct the salaries for the commissioners and the other staffing issues. But we will not oppose the task force, and hopefully we can get these issues dealt with. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. That concludes the call-in testimony. Any other comments from the committee? Almost called the senators the commissioners. We're having some long days here, boys. Seeing no other comments, may I have a motion, Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for House concurrent resolution number 8, Labor and Commerce, with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
We have a motion on the table to move the resolution, attach fiscal notes and individual comments. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the resolution from committee.
Congratulations, Kurt.
Tomorrow, well, first of all, we're not going to adjourn. We're going to go to recess. We have a floor session at 3:30. Then the plan is to come back and take up House Bill 177 and GIA. And then we'll be back after that tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., House Bill 162, mortgage lending, and we'll be back to House Bill 177 next if we need to, the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act. But we'll keep everybody posted here in the end when we get back. So I will see everybody back after the floor. We are in recess.
Thank you, yeah.
Go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee back to order.
We don't care about
back to order for the third time today and final time. With me tonight is my co-chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Huggins, Senator Thomas, Senator Dice. And what we're going to do this evening, we have CS for House Bill number 177, Finance Amended, came over from the House, better known as a GIA. There's some differences in there than the Senate bill that we moved across the floor today, and the House bill came first. So there should be on your desk or in your packet a colored version with red and blue, blue being the House and red being the Senate. The strike through in red is meaningless information. It's just please use the color coded. But what I'm going to do is walk through and recommend to take the House or the Senate version. And if you have a question, just please speak up. Senator Elton has just arrived. And please speak up, and we'll stop and address it. Now, I've had my staff, along with Senator Huggins' staff and the administration, all sat down and walked through this. So I think we'll find it pretty smooth this evening, and we'll walk through that pretty quick. And if I could go ahead and start on line 4, page 1, take the House.
Wait a minute.
Line 3.
Line 3.
Excuse me. Line 3. Take the House.
Which page? I'm sorry, Bert.
Number 1.
Page 1.
Page 1.
In the title.
Page 3. I've already read page 3.
Yeah, line 25. This is on page 2. Line 25, we'll take the House. Line 30, we'll take the House. That's page 2. Page 3 is all Senate. It's just the top. There's two of them. It's just the Senate language. So it flows. Page 8, that is page 8. We'll take the House.
Excuse me, Senator. We don't have color coded, so when you're just saying House or Senate, we have no idea what you're doing here.
Okay.
Thank you.
You can say the underlined
or the strikeout, strike through.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the House is the underlined. The Senate is the strike through. On page 9, it's the House, it's the underlined version.
Line 30.
Line 30. Page 10, line 3, it's the House, which is the underlined version. Page 11, lines 29, 30, and 31, it's the Senate, which is the strike through. Page 12, line 15, it's the Senate, which is a strike through.
Why?
Why did we select the extra run?
Yeah. What makes this one unique that we want to take the, I'm sorry. Which line are you on?
15.
15.
Forget it, what I said.
Okay. Again, on line 15, we take the Senate version. Line 25, take the House, which is the underline. Page 15, line 30. Page 15, line 30, take the Senate, which is
strike through.
The strike through. Page 17, we'll take the House, which is the underline.
What about on
page
line,
one?
Excuse me, line 30. No,
line
excuse
one.
Me, wait. Let's do line one first. Line one, I didn't see that, I'm sorry. Line one is the House.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Elton.
This may be a function of the time of the day. So on line one, we're not, it'll read, receive all relevant notices and information.
Correct.
Okay.
Line 29, line 30, we'll take the House, which is the underline. Page 18. We'll take the House, which is the underline. Line 26 and 27, we'll take the House, which is the underline. Page 25, line 17. And all on page 25, we'll take the House, which is the underline, which is line 17, 18, line 20, line 21, and line 31. Page 26, we'll take the House, which is the underline. Line 2, excuse me. Page 26, line 2, take the House, the underline. On line 8, we'll take the House, which is the underline. Page 29, line 3, we'll take the Senate. Line 4, we'll take the Senate. Both of those are the strike through. Page 30, line 13, we'll take the House, which is the underline.
I
includes our walkthrough. Do we have any questions? Pretty much wordsmithing. Senator, we have Senator Thomas.
I missed a couple as I was trying to read. On page 8, line 26, I didn't get...
That's the house. Page 8, line 26, the house is the underline.
Okay, and on page 9?
Page 9, line 9, excuse me, page 9, line 30, it's the house, the underline.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense in here. And the last one was page 10.
Page 10, line 3, take the house, it's the underline.
Thank you.
We just all had long days, so.
Yeah, we did good.
Senator Elton.
Just a quick question of Marsha Davis, the deputy commissioner, and she can maybe answer it in one word. Is this yes or no? The way we've gone through it.
Senator Elton, the answer is yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other questions?
Wait a minute.
Okay. We'll take a brief at ease. Make an amendment number one, that we accept the walkthrough selection that was just performed concerning the Senate and the House selections by page and line number. I'll object for discussion. Do we have any objection with any of those? Okay, hearing none, I'll remove my objection. So we'll go ahead and adopt those in the House version. CS
for House Bill.
House Bill number 177, Finance amended. Any other discussion or comments? Let me just take a brief at ease. Senator Hoffman, if I could have a motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for House Bill number 177, Finance, amended as amended by the Senate Finance Committee.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee, House. Sure. Eddie's.
Move the fiscal note, the first fiscal note that is in your packet dated 5/11 to CS for House Bill 177 Finance.
Okay. We have a and previous fiscal
notes. And the previous fiscal notes.
Okay. We have a motion to move the bill with the amended fiscal note, the previous fiscal notes, and the amended changes by the Senate Finance Committee. Do we have objection to the motion? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move CS for House Bill number 177, Finance amended from committee, as stated. And then tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., we're going to do House Concurrent Resolution 6, Civic Education Citizens Advisory Task Force. It's a first hearing. First hearing on House Bill 113, Optometrist Use of Pharmaceuticals. House Bill 90, Crimes, Criminal Procedures, and Sentencing. We'll have a previously heard Mortgage Lending Bill. House Bill 162, and a first-time hearing on House Bill 166, Permanent Fund Dividend Contributions to Philanthropic Organizations. With that, we'll see everybody here at 9 a.m. Meeting adjourned.